Try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's excited to hear the word of the Lord today? I'm excited at what God's going to do and what he's been speaking. And before we get into this, I asked Pastor Matthew to bring this over because by the end of the service, you'll see why they call this prophetic art. Prophetic art is telling us something before it happens. And she didn't know what I was preaching about. And to me, this spoke volumes of what God wants to do today. So buckle up, get ready, because he's going to breathe today. He's going to move in this place in a powerful way as I just sense it, because he wants to do that. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your breath of life. I ask that you would roar in this place, that your power would fall on us, that you would breathe on us, that you would remove anything from us that is not of you, anything holding us back, any stumbling blocks, any mindsets, any forms of religion that are denying your power. Today, Lord, they come down in your name, we pray. God, I pray your anointing is on me, that you hide me behind you. And it's you we hear from today. It's your word that goes forth like a double-edged sword and cuts through and pierces hearts. So anoint it, God. Anoint this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I had all this typed out. I had the script for them up there to tell them what slides and what scriptures. And God's already turning stuff. He's already blowing. And so I'm just going to follow the breath as I go. And I'm actually going to start my sermon with the thing I was going to end it with. So I'm flipping this message completely upside down. But I felt like the Lord was saying, tell them your story and then jump into the scripture and show them how all that comes to life and build the foundation. So I just want to tell you my story to start off with. Today's theme, the message today, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? Anybody want to know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? Well, today I want to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we were singing in worship, I felt the Lord say, preach this message as if you were preaching to your 16-year-old self that didn't understand this. Preach to that Jamie. So whoever that Jamie is here, it's not an age, it's not a gender, but it's where I was at in my head. I was hungry, but I didn't know where to go. And so I'm going to jump into that part of my story. I grew up in a denominational church. I loved the Lord. They taught me so much, and then it stopped. We didn't go any further. We didn't go any deeper. We didn't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I was saved. I loved God. I was compassionate. I went on missions trips. I prayed. I read my Bible. But I did not understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nor was I taught about it. In fact, I was taught the opposite. And so I want to take you on the journey I went on because it changed my life. And God wants to set people free that may be wrestling with mindsets that I was wrestling with. And so my story is that's where I'm at. I'm 16 years old. I'm hungry. I just don't have this God thing figured out, but I know there's more. Anybody know there's more, but you just can't figure out how to get there? We're all learning, aren't we? Well, I wanted to know what is more? And so my story begins with growing up in this denominational church, and I'm a teenager now, and back then we didn't have the internet, believe it or not. And if you wanted to learn more, you actually had to go to the Christian bookstore at the mall. Seems foreign today. Most of them are out of business because you can just go on Amazon and order a book or download a podcast or watch something on YouTube. But back then, we didn't have all that. And so if you wanted to learn more, you went to the mall, to the Christian bookstore. And so I was hungry for God. I even felt a call to ministry, but I didn't really tell anyone. It was just my little quiet thing because I didn't know how it was going to work and could I even do it. And I go to the mall and I go into the Christian bookstore, and there was a young girl that actually caught my eye. And this was way before the days of Kim. And but she caught my eye for more than one reason. She caught my eye because she had this glow about her. She talked different. She had confidence. She knew her word. And there was something about her. I knew she had something I didn't have. So I got in a conversation with her, and she's like, "Well, what are you looking for?" And I was like, "Well, I want to go deeper with God. I don't know exactly what book that would be." And she said, "Do you know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "No. I don't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit." She's like, "I feel like God wants you to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you know anything about speaking in tongues?" "No. In fact, my mom told me that was of the devil." She said, "I know what book I have for you." And she walks over to the charismatic section. She pulls out a book. It was red. And she hands it to me. And I looked at the book, and it was called They Speak with Other Tongues. And it was written by an investigative kind of reporter, where his goal in writing the book was to actually prove that tongues was not for today, it's not biblical. And so, kind of like people have heard of the story of the case for Christ, and he is investigative. This is a guy who's just like that, only he was on a mission to disprove tongues. So he writes from that perspective. I got the book. I remember having to hide it in my room so that my parents did not see it. Sorry, Mom, I know she's watching today, so. I hid the book, but I devoured the book. And he went on this journey, and he went on missions trips, and he had all these cool stories. And by the end, I'll just save it. I'll save you $10 if you don't want to have to buy it. He comes to the conclusion, unanimous conclusion, this is real, and it's powerful. And that's why the enemy fights it so hard, to be honest. Once you understand it, once you experience it, it's very easy to see why the enemy has come at it, why he's split churches, why he's even created denominations. He does everything in his power to stuff this gift down. But we're going to find out today in the Bible, it's all over the place. And I mean all over the place. When I study this out, there's even foreshadowing in the Old Testament of this in multiple ways. It's fascinating. And so I want to unlock anybody who's locked up about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, wondering if it's in the Bible. It is. But before we get into all the scripture, I'm just going to finish my story. So I read this book, and I want this gift. So I go back to the Christian bookstore. She says, "Well, come to my," I talked to Anna, her name is Anna. She said, "Come to my church." She went to a charismatic church. They had a youth event. She's like, "Come to it. You can get prayer." I went to it, got prayer. Nothing happened other than I left really hungry. That was the end of that story for 5 more years. I pursued it. I prayed for it. Nothing happened. And someone needs to hear that today who's been praying for this and wondering, why has it happened to me? But did I stop? No. Fast forward to 1997, and I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm working on my master's degree, and Kim and I were married by that point. It was our first year of marriage, and the Lord plopped us in a company. And our coworkers were spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians. And so my first day in the office, we had cubicles, and right here was Albert, and right there was Sarita. And guess what? They talked just like Anna. I looked in their eye. I could see that same sparkle. I could feel it. And Albert made fun of me. He made fun of this question I asked him on my first day of meeting him, but it's where I was at. I said, "Albert, I have a question for you." He said, "What?" I said, "Do you speak in tongues?" He looked at me like, "Wow, that's kind of odd to ask on your first day in our department." And he said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "I knew it! Serena, do you speak in tongues? Why are you asking? You nosy." I said, "Do you?" "Yes, I do." And fast forward, they started giving me, again, I'm going to date myself. I hate this, young people. I got cassette tapes. Let's hear it for cassette tapes. Come on. Cassette tapes that we would sometimes have to put a pencil in and turn it because it got stuck in the, yeah, you know. I had cassette tapes, and they started giving me cassette tapes of Joyce Meyer and all these people, and I was devouring them, especially the one called Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Joyce Meyer taught on it. Then I listened to one where it was a tag team of Oral Roberts and another guy. I don't even know the guy's name, was another pastor, and they taught on it. And I listened to both of those. But in the meantime of listening, after I listened to the first one with Joyce, I came back to work and I said, "Albert, I listened to that cassette. I prayed for the gift and I still don't have it. What is wrong?" He said, "Well, Jamie, in the Bible, sometimes it only came with the laying on of hands. And we're going to see that in just a second in the scriptures." He said, "Do you want me to go pray with you?" I said, "Yeah, let's do it on lunch hour." So we went to a conference room. Mind you, they're glass, like this drum cage. There was three of them, three little conference rooms with a little table and chairs, and it was a hallway that people could walk past and look and see in there. Everybody say hungry.
Hungry.
I was hungry, though, and I didn't care what people think. And today, some of you, when we get to the end, you got to get rid of the fear of man and what people think. You have to be hungry. So we go to the middle conference room. And I get in there. I have no idea what to expect. And Albert's like, "All right, lift your hands up. Start praising the Lord." So I start praising the Lord. "Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. What am I supposed to say?" And he's like, "I'm going to put my hands on your belly. And I'm going to pray in tongues." And he's like, "When we get going, no more English. Just whatever syllable comes to you, let it out and don't think about it. I don't care if you sound like a baby." Well, I'm analytical. I'm in corporate job. I have coworkers walking past. And my back's to them. And I just put my hands up. And he put his hands and started praying in tongues. And for the first time in my life, I felt a supernatural heat. And it was like butterflies were swirling in my stomach. It was like, and I was like, "What is happening?" But guess what? I still didn't speak in tongues that moment. It's important to know that too. But I knew this. I got the gift. I knew it had been deposited. I had to just work this out of the way. This analytical mind that tries to figure out everything and analyze everything into super logical. So I go home. I've already listened to Joyce Meyer. Now I put in the Oral Roberts one. I'm in the bedroom. Kim's not in there. She was out in the living room. I listened to my cassette tape. The very end, they said, "Put your hands on your stereo if you're listening by cassette." Okay. So I go over to my tape recorder. I put my hands on my stereo and they start praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, this heavenly language started coming. It was out of the way. My brain was out of the way and it started flowing. And I was so excited. And I knew the baptism of the Holy Spirit had landed in my life and I would never be the same. One more part to this story before we go in the scriptures. And this is an important part because God used this Next part, to teach me the power of this gift on day one. Day one. So I'm on my way to work. I'm so excited to tell Albert I got filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues. And I'm praying in tongues while I'm driving in Nashville, Tennessee, driving, and I'm praying. And all of a sudden, while I'm praying, this was a new thing, but it happens even when you're not praying in tongues. Have you ever had someone like just flash in front of your mind, like somebody you went to school with in third grade, or a random person, or a family member, and you're like, you start praying, or why am I thinking about this? Well, while I'm doing this, Albert flashes to my mind. Now, if it had been one day earlier and Albert flashed to my mind, I would have been like, oh, I know, he's trying to get out of debt, pay off bills, I'm going to pray for his finances. That's what I would have did the day before. But that day, I just prayed in tongues. I prayed in tongues, and I pictured Albert, and I knew I was praying for him, but I didn't know what I was praying about. I felt it lift, and I get to work. Now, mind you, Albert works right beside me, cubicle right beside me. I get to work. I'm all glowing and excited. Albert, guess what? What? I speak in tongues. What? I said, and guess what else? What? I know I was praying for you this morning. You flashed in front of my eyes, and I started praying in tongues. I don't know what I was praying about, but I was praying for you. And at that moment, he looked at me like deer in headlights. He said, did you hear what happened this morning? I said, no. He said, on my way to work, I was going down Nolensville Road, one of the busiest intersections that those of you are in Nashville back at that time. He said, I was going down Nolensville Road, and I had, he's coming this way. He had the green light. This person didn't stop. They didn't realize. They were probably on their phone or whatever. And at any rate, he said they were coming straight for him, and he knew they were going to hit him right in the driver's spot. He said, Jamie, I grabbed my steering wheel and shouted, Jesus, and I braced for impact and closed my eyes. I heard the car screech, he said, and it stopped. His glass didn't shatter. He didn't feel his car moved, and he opened his eyes. And he said, Jamie, there was one finger width between that car and me. And I know an angel was standing there saying, not today, Satan. Albert is now a missionary in Barbados all these years later. That day I learned the power of praying in the Spirit. When we don't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit does, and he prays the mysteries of God, and he prays and he protects, and he does all kinds of cool things that we're going to get into, that day set me off like a rocket. I saw the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It all clicked. I knew exactly why the enemy fought so hard to shut it down. I knew exactly why denominations formed. I knew exactly why he tries to stuff it. Because when it's in operation, it's a threat to him. It messes up his plans. It cancels demonic assignments. It brings breakthrough. And so, that's my story that I was going to end with as the crescendo, and the Lord said, start with it. So I'm starting with it. I don't know what our crescendo is going to be, but other than you guys coming up here and getting filled with the Spirit, that's what our crescendo is going to be. But I want to show you in the Word, because the beautiful thing is, this isn't some emotionalism. This isn't something one person made up. It is all over Scripture. And if you think it's emotionalism, if you don't think it's real, then all that tells me is you don't know the Word yet. So it's my job to speak to 16-year-old Jamie and teach you the Word so that you understand it, and you'll come up here today at ministry time with full faith, believing that the breath of life is going to blow on you. Amen? Now, for those of you who already are baptized in the Holy Spirit, You do not have permission to daydream or tune me out. I also felt like the Lord said, you need to fire some of them back up to start using this gift. There are some lazy people with their gift, and God wants to wake us up because we're not in a season of laziness anymore. The world's getting dark and we've got to get bright. We want revival. Well, revival always comes with prayer first. It doesn't come with watching a bunch of TV, playing a bunch of video games, just wasting the day away. None of that's bad. None of that's a sin. But you know what I mean? Where the prayer life just goes. Okay, let's go in. I want you to say this after me. God, if there's more, I want all of it. One more time. God, if there's more, I want all of it. Well, today we're going to talk about something every believer in Jesus can experience. As you already know, the cat's out of the bag, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've never fully understood what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means, or like me, you grew up in a church that didn't really teach on it at all, it's okay. Today, my goal is to help you see in the Bible what it has to say about it, what it is, who can receive it, why it matters, and the purpose and benefits that come with it. We'll also talk about why the enemy fights this experience so much. I want to begin the scripture part of this with Jesus himself talking about this experience in Acts 1, 4 through 5. And this is to set you up. This is right after his resurrection. He's been with the disciples for 40 days. And he's giving them some instructions. To catch you up, Pastor Matthew already used one of the scriptures I was going to say, but just to give you a precursor to the scripture we're about to read. When Jesus came back after he rose from the dead, John 22, verse 2, I think it is, says he breathed onto the disciples and the Holy Spirit came on them. So they've got the Holy Spirit, but there's another instruction. Let's jump into Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded, say commanded. Commanded. That word jumped out at me. It doesn't say, if you want to. Optional. Commanded. Think of that. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Notice what Jesus is saying here. Jesus looks at these guys and he's basically saying, hey, listen, you have seen me, you've studied me, you've been with me, you believed in me, you've been saved, you've been baptized by John, you've heard sermons, but something is still missing. There's more for you to receive. That's my paraphrase of that passage. Can I say something to you, Valley Church? There are some of you here right now who've come to church, who've walked with Jesus, you know all about him, you're saved, you've been water baptized, you're even in a table group, but guess what? There is more. Amen. There is more. In fact, Jesus went on in verse 8 to tell them why the baptism of the Holy Spirit matters. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. I love that passage because I remember when I was in my denominational church, I had a little intern for the children's ministry, and he said, there's something different about you, and the Lord told me to ask you about speaking in tongues. Do you know anything about it? And I was like, come here. And so I told him, and he's like, will you pray for me? I want it. And I remember that day just learning, like, okay, Lord, like, just touch him. I remember I just brought him into one of the Sunday school rooms in the kids' ministry, and I just said this scripture over him. And I said, Ryan, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When I said the word power, God knocked him to the floor, and the power of God sent him to the floor, and neither one of us had any time to blink. There was no catchers. I didn't even know. I'd never experienced this. But again, God was endorsing his word. He didn't say goosebumps will hit you. He said power. Power. There's three things as I studied this one little passage that we've heard so many times, where Jesus points out in this passage that there's three significant experiences God wants for every believer. And this is the part I want to kind of unlock some of you with. Because the first two, I think you'll know and be like, oh yeah, I believe that, I find that. It's the third one that we wrestle sometimes with. First one is salvation. This is when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, give your life to him. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In other words, at salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. That's one thing I felt like the Lord said, address even that. Someone in this room has been told, I don't have the Holy Spirit unless I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's not true. He's within you. He's on the inside. It's step one. It happened with the disciples. He breathed on them. They had the Holy Spirit. They then were baptized with John. And then there's this third thing. So number two, water baptism. This is when you go public with your faith and you leave the old in the water and you come up new. I tell kids in kids ministry, this is when we tell people on the outside what happened to us on the inside. That's what baptism is. It's a way of publicly declaring your faith. Because if I just walk up to you, I don't know if you're a believer. But when you see someone declare, I'm a believer in Jesus, and you see him baptized, it's a public declaration to a group of people. Water baptism is a significant experience of what God wants for every believer. And then the third thing packed in that scripture is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what he's talking about in this passage, and is when we are empowered to live boldly and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. I liken it like this. At salvation, the Spirit moves in, and that's kind of like turning on the lights in your house. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like power surging through every outlet, turning on every appliance so the house can function at full capacity. You see the difference? You already have the Spirit, but now he's upon you to do the work you've been called to do. And just like those outlets power your house, the Holy Spirit empowers you to live boldly, speak with courage, and carry the presence of Jesus wherever we go. I'm going to say one more quick verse about panicked up there. It says 12:29. Daylight savings has not hit the clock up there. Okay. I love this verse because it illustrates all three significant experiences in one verse. And this is cool to me. Acts 2:38 shows all three experiences in one verse. Then Peter said to them, repent. In other words, be saved. Salvation. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And the third, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All three experiences packed in one tiny scripture by Peter. These three significant experiences God wants for every believer are foreshadowed in the story of Israel and the priestly rituals of the Old Testament. This was the part that, to me, was just cool. It's just fascinating. I love, like when I was younger, I had these books called Encyclopedia Brown. Does anybody even know what that is? All right, I have some hands. Cyclopedia Brown were these books that had like 1 minute mysteries. So you read them as a kid and you would try to solve the mystery. And then at the back of the book, you could flip ahead and see the clues and figure out how Encyclopedia solved it. And I loved mysteries and I love clues. Why I love what I'm going to tell you here is because God leaves us clues that those three experiences were foreshadowed. And he doesn't do it once. There's a couple ones that were just blatant to me. Do you want to know what the clues are? Good, because I have them right here. The first one, salvation, we said, was the first experience. Where's that in the Old Testament? Where's the parallel? Where's the clue? Well, we see the salvation story of the Passover lamb. Just as the blood of the lamb saved Israel from death, the blood of Jesus saves us from sin and gives us new life. So if you know your story of Moses, before they make their journey, what was step one? They had to put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost before they went anywhere. Moses kind of is symbolic even for Jesus. Moses was the deliverer for the Old Testament. Jesus is our deliverer. So this foreshadow of salvation is there. One other place foreshadowed. Did you know there is three steps that the priest had to take before they could go into the Holy of Holies? You know what the first one was? A blood sacrifice. The priest first had to offer the blood of a bull or a goat as atonement for the people. Step one, experience one, salvation, Passover lamb, atonement of a sacrifice by the priest. Number two, clue, water baptism. What's the clue for water baptism? You want to know what it is? At the Red Sea, Israel left behind a life of bondage. The waters became a barrier between them and Egypt. Their old masters could not follow them through. Water baptism represents the same cleansing, leaving our old life behind and stepping into God's freedom. So here's the Israelites on their journey. Passover blood represents salvation for us. They're on their way, their journey to the promised land. They have to go through the Red Sea. God opens it for them. They walk through the waters, and then the waters close and get rid of all their enemies behind them. Just like you go in that water and you came back up and your old life is bye-bye. We declare you are a new creation in Christ. Symbolic with the Red Sea. Well, you want to know what the second step for the priests are to get in the Holy of Holies? Anybody got a guess? The priests had, The priests had to be washed at the laver to be purified before approaching God. They're washed with water. Purified. Blood sacrifice. Washed with water, parallels our two experiences. Salvation, water baptism. Now for the last one. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Where is that baptism in the Bible? You want to know? Good, because I'm telling you. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you know the Bible story, you'll know where this is headed. They go from the Red Sea, and then basically Moses is handing the baton to Joshua, and Joshua takes them yet to another body of water, the Jordan River. And guess what? They can't get to the promised land unless they go through the Jordan River. So they have to go through that water, and the Bible says the way they got instructions from God where the priests went first, they put the Ark of the Covenant in the water, whoosh, the waters opened, they were able to go through, and guess what was awaiting them down the road? The Promised Land. What's that have to do with us? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. When it comes on us, when we go through that process, it empowers us to live a spirit-filled, victorious life in God's presence. How many think that sounds like the promised land? Amen? Well, I can't forget my priests. Guess what the priests have to do for the third step before they go into the Holy of Holies? They have to anoint themselves with oil. Very symbolic for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The priests had to be anointed with oil, empowering them for service before that day they got to enter, the high priest got to enter the Holy of Holies. So these three experiences, salvation, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, form the full picture of God's desire for his people. For the sake of time in this message, we're focusing on the third one. Because I honestly think the people in this room don't really have an issue with the first two. Most of you don't have an issue with the third one. But there may be some that are still trying to understand baptism of the Holy Spirit. Goal number one, to get you to see, it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's foreshadowed in the Old Testament. So do you think it's something we should be believing for? Is it something we should be walking in? Yes, it's for us. All right. It's for every believer, and in Acts 1:4 we read that Jesus didn't suggest they wait. He commanded them, saying, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment to live boldly, to witness effectively, and to experience God's presence beyond what we can do in our own strength. We first see this empowerment in none other than Jesus himself. He was baptized in the Jordan, and then the Spirit descended upon him. Luke 3:21-22 gives us that scripture. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, the Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and the voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Luke 4:1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And if you know the story, because he was walking in the power of the Spirit, he was able to overcome the temptation of the enemy. He didn't walk in anything but victory. The interesting thing about Jesus' life is before this moment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where he comes and rests on, you will not find anywhere in the Bible where he did one miracle. Zero. It wasn't until the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus' ministry was unlocked. The power of God came on him. That's when we read miracles happening. That's when signs and wonders happen. That's when healings happen. That is when the miracles of Jesus started, is a direct correlation of when the Spirit came upon him. Jumping into the one we're all familiar with, I'm just going to jump now to the book of Acts, because this is kind of where I'm finishing out this process. This is what Albert did for me when he was unwinding me from the religion that was tangled around me. He took me to the book of Acts, and he showed me in scripture, like rapid fire, like I'm about to do to you, where this is in the scripture, and this is what happened. And he didn't add to it, and he didn't take away. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. First one, day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house while they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Say all.
All.
I don't know if it's for me. I'm not good enough. Say all.
All.
That's to free somebody. I don't know who that one's for. It's for you. These stories in the Bible, they're prototypes. They're for us. They're speaking a message to us, not just the story in the Bible. And the message it's speaking to you is, it's for you too. It says all, it means all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What's cool is we see Peter, who just a few chapters back is scared of a servant girl, and he denies Jesus 3 times. You remember those stories from the Easter story? I don't know who he is. To a servant girl. Yet, isn't it fascinating that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on him, which brings dunamis power, which dunamis is from the word dynamite, which is explosive, right? And it's amazing to me that explosive power lands on him, and all of a sudden, that very day, 3,000 people get saved. Everybody say dunamis. What I found in my life, before baptism of the Holy Spirit, I did not see signs, wonders, and miracles, healings. I did not cast out one devil prior. But I did after. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit upon us. We're immersed in it. We're consumed with it. And Peter is the perfect example of boldness and authority that he walked in very day of. Number 2 story in Acts. The people of Samaria believed in Jesus and were baptized in water, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Important to know, remember, the scripture's in Acts 8, 14 through 17, and we'll read it. But I want you to notice this. They were baptized in water. You know what that tells us? They were believers in Jesus. They had a measure of the Holy Spirit. This is people that loved the Lord. But they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So when Peter and John arrived, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says in the scripture, Acts 8. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who then had come down, prayed for them, and they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they get there, what do? Laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's when Albert took a little pause button. See, Jamie? Some people only get it with the laying on of hands. They didn't get it in this story till they got hands. Somebody prayed with them that had the faith to believe. So I was like, okay. Next story. The Gentiles in Cornelius' house in Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. This instance marks the first time the Holy Spirit was poured out to the Gentiles. As Peter preached, the Holy Spirit came upon all who were listening to the message. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all. Everybody say all.
All.
Interesting. There it is again, isn't it? All those who heard the word and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to the Gentiles also. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew they got it. Because their prayer language came. They spoke in tongues. Acts 10. Did we do 10? We are at Acts 19. Before I read this scripture, in Ephesus, Paul encountered some disciples of John the Baptist who had not yet received the Holy Spirit. After explaining the full gospel to them, Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus. He laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. This is the exact scripture. And he said to them, "Do you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and prophesied. Are we seeing a theme? Saul, Paul, Acts 9, this is the last one. Acts 9, 17 through 18. After his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Saul, later Paul, was blinded for 3 days. When Ananias was sent to him, Saul was baptized in water and received the Holy Spirit. For the sake of the time, you could just see the scripture, it's on there, but I just paraphrased it. What do all these stories have in common? One, they were believers already. They're believers in Jesus. They have this second experience that Holy Spirit comes on them. They spoke in tongues. Many times was with the laying on of hands. And then we see them bold, signs, wonders, and miracles, and all these things happen that you're like, wow, they took the world by storm in that moment. The theme of all of that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to finish. This could be an entirely part two to this message. I'm going to try to just do rapid fire 5 more minutes. Because the biggest thing I want to unravel as part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the whole speaking in tongue thing. Because there's so much information, misinformation, all these opinions. And what does the word say about it? That's all I care, right? What does the word say? Why do we speak in tongues? Why do you have to speak in tongues when baptized in the Spirit? It's, you don't have to speak in tongues when you're baptized in the Spirit. You get to. That's how I look at it. You get to. That day I got it when Albert prayed, I didn't speak in tongues then. I got the baptism of the Spirit. It wasn't until later it came on, and then I got to speak in tongues, and I saw the power of it. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." One of the things that speaking in tongues does, it allows you to speak the mysteries of God. You don't know what you're saying most of the time, but guess who else doesn't know? The devil. You're bypassing. It reminds me back in the day when we used to live in Indiana, my favorite team to watch football was the Colts. And Peyton Manning was on the Colts. And he was always shouting, "Omaha, Omaha." And he had this secret code that he would shout. And his team knew what to do, but the other team did not know what he was saying, what it meant, what the cues were. And his team did. And when you're speaking in tongues, the other team, the enemy, doesn't know what's going on. What's this plan? Oh, he's calling an angel to protect Albert? Wait, what? I thought I had him. He doesn't know. And so you're speaking the mysteries of God. That's one thing the scripture tells us. Second thing, 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself. In other words, builds himself up is what that scripture means. Builds yourself up. It builds up your spirit, man. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So yes, in a church setting, it's better to prophesy. Pastor Dina taught on this a couple of weeks ago. But in your personal private life, guess what builds up your spirit, man? Praying in your private prayer language, praying in tongues. It builds me up. If I'm feeling burnout from ministry or work, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Last night, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Knowing this message was coming this morning, literally all morning, Kim heard me walking around the house, taking a shower. I was praying in tongues the entire time. Why? Because I wanted to be built up. I didn't want to come in here on fumes. You don't need empty. You need somebody who's full of the Holy Spirit to release the Holy Spirit, to pray for you. And so I was praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I had to stir up myself up. The Bible says, stir up the gifts within you. And Jared, you can head out here wherever you are. Jared's always right on cue, isn't he? Edify yourself. Romans 8:26-27 gives us another clue of why it's important. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That day for Albert, I was praying God's will. If I would have been praying my will, I've been praying for his bills. Did he need a financial breakthrough that morning? No. You don't need a financial breakthrough if you're not alive. Right? He needed protection. He needed an angel to stand right in front of that car and say, not today. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying according to the will of the Father. That's powerful. Why would we not want that gift? Why would we not want it? It changes your life. It changes people around you, people you love. Who knows what I've prayed for and you've prayed for that intercepted the plans of the enemy? There's sometimes I'm praying in tongues and my tongue sounds like an African tribe. And I know I'm praying for somebody in Africa right now. I have no idea what they need, but God does. He was looking for someone who would get out of bed and pray. That's where we're at, folks. This is why the enemy fights so hard to talk you out of this gift. He literally works overtime on this. He twists the scripture, he undoes it. He tells you bad theology, but when you read the Bible, and I don't even have a time to get in. I literally have a whole other message on this tongue stuff. I don't have time today, but I'm telling you this. If you go in your Bible like I did, I remember the Holy Spirit said, just read Corinthians with no filter. You've been told all these things, but read what I say. And when I read it, I was like, the scales fell off. Wow. Wow. That's what it says. I challenge you, if I'm poking you today and you're like, I don't know, read the Bible. Because there's no poke like the sword of the Spirit. And I promise you, it will cut it off. If it's not of God, if that mindset is holding you back, if that limiting belief is not from heaven, it will cut it off. If you're going after it, you have to pursue God. Back to our foreshadowing, this is just coming to me, so I just want to say it. They walked through the Red Sea, but if they would have stopped right there and just said, oh, we're here, they weren't at the promised land yet. And this is what this message is about. Don't stop here. You have to keep walking. If you want to get to the promised land, you have to walk. And then you even have to trust that the waters are going to open. This past week, Kim's like, are you hungry? I'm like, sitting in the recliner. Yeah, I'm starving. Okay, I'll make something. She makes something, cooks it, hollers at me from the kitchen. Dinner's ready. You can come out here and get it. Guess what? I just sat there. Was I really hungry enough? No. I was hungry, but not hungry enough. I wanted to watch my show. She's like, your food's getting cold. I know. And finally I went and got it, and it was cold, and it wasn't as good. But that analogy just came to me that some of you say you're hungry, but you're not hungry. You're not hungry. Fast forward to another day this week. I was fasting for this message. And guess what? When my fast was over, she didn't have to say, are you starving? I was already in there looking through the refrigerator trying to find something to eat because I was hungry. I didn't care what I had. I mean, cottage cheese and chopsticks and beef. I didn't care what it was. I'm just going at it because I was hungry. Today, God says, whoever's hungry, he's going to breathe life on you. You're going to have to get rid of fear of man. What will people think? What if I go up there? Oh, I don't care what they think. Care what he thinks. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't care who's over. sees me go up there, I'm going up there unapologetically because I'm hungry. And I think our little prophetic artist painted the picture of what God wants to do when you get up here. Do you not think she painted what he wants to do? We couldn't have, and you know the first thing she painted? I caught it, you wouldn't have noticed. The first thing she painted when she did this was the tongue. I even felt like that was just a little prophetic wink from God. As I saw her start working on the tongue, and I was like, is that a tongue? Does she know my message? No, she's just in tune and plugged into the same God I'm plugged into. And he's putting it all together because he has something he wants to do today. So would you stand to your feet? Prayer team, will you come forward? I know we went a little long, but guess what? You got an extra hour of sleep. Amen? The Lord knew the perfect Sunday to do this message. When we're all rested up. Now, I want to say this before we open up the altars. He comes different for everyone. Some, he comes like a dove. Some, he comes like a tongue of fire. Don't compare. Look around like, oh, am I supposed to be acting like what? No. Just come up and say, Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The other thing I want to say to encourage you, I went forward, got prayer. Did mine come in that moment? Yes and no. When Albert prayed over me, it came. But did the speaking in tongues come in that moment? No. It came a little bit later. I kept contending and believing. And then before you know, God is not going to, if you ask for the gift of tongues, he's not going to give you something else. He's not going to give you a counterfeit spirit. I just heard that. This isn't a counterfeit. You're asking God who gives good gifts, and guess what he gives? Good gifts. If you're asking for this, he's not going to give you that. He's going to give you this. That's what you're asking for. You know, you're a parent. If my kids are asking for something, I'm not just going to say, I want you to have this instead. You want to get them what they want for Christmas, right? So let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know you're wanting to unlock it for this church because you have revival plans for this church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for us, it's for others. It's to go out and reach this city. It's to be activated with power from on high. God, whoever's hungry today, may no weapon formed against them coming forward prosper in Jesus' name. I bind the enemy that would try to keep them from experiencing the more of God. I bind you, I bind your lies, I bind your limiting beliefs, and I loosen the power of God in this place. Lord, I thank you that the breath of life, the Lion of Judah, is going to roar in this place. I thank you that all week long we've been praying over this prayer team, calling forth dunamis power when they lay hands on people. We are expecting people to get filled with the Spirit because you are a good God and you honor your word. So Lord, there's no fanfare, there's no emotionalism. I'm done. This service is yours, God. We can't give this away, only you can. So would you fall on your people? And as the worship music's playing, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come forward. If you want a refill even, just come forward and pray up front. Just say, God, I don't need a refill. I've been stagnant. I haven't even been using this gift. So come. That's all I'm going to say. Come.